Hello. Okay. So we'll continue with the synopsis. First of all, the shiur in general is Leilui Nishmas. I'm sorry. I have to write it down somewhere.
It's there on the paper.
No, I'm talking about
my
your father.
Nishmas Chaim Ephraim ben Natan.
This is the Mrs. Schaefer's father. She's the Achsanya. So the Shir in general is Leilui Nishmaso. And the learning tonight should be a special schus for David ben Leah and Chana bas Rivka, the parents of Mrs. Lerner, who are both ill. And they should have a refuah shleima. Okay. So we're continuing the synopsis. So again, Bitachon means to rely on Hashem. For anything, anytime you find yourself relying on something, whatever it is, anytime you find yourself relying on anything, so you're supposed to direct that reliance and work on that. You're supposed to rely on Hashem. You do that by developing an awareness and a realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls all. As we'll see, the Chayvus Halvavus is a handbook how to develop bitachon. He doesn't just give you mussar and say, okay, I want you to do it. He tells you exactly how to do it, how you develop it. It's basically developing an awareness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world and is almighty and sees all and does all. So, and therefore the mitzvah is to direct your reliance on Him. So again, whenever you find yourself, like everybody is full of questions, but it's really a simple formulation. Whenever you find yourself relying on anything, for anything, whether it's your own intelligence, or whether it protects you, or whether it's you have a friend, or whether it's money in the bank, or whether it's you're doing a good job, why should you be fired? Or whether it's you dressed nicely for the interview and you had a very impressive resume, why shouldn't you get the job? Right? Or you put the dough in the oven, and the oven's working, so you're relying on the laws of nature that the cake should come out properly. You did all the ingredients properly, and the oven's working properly. Whenever, this is the bottom line, but the whole Shar HaBitachon is how to reach this Madrega. We're not starting with this. This is where you're going to end up. But first, we're just defining it. Whenever you find yourself relying on anything for anything, you have to direct that reliance on Hashem and say, I'm relying on Hashem. And we'll see the tremendous difference this will make in your life. The Chayvus Halvavus trains you in Shar HaBitachon how to develop this. It takes you step by step. It's a progression so that it's real, because we can all pay lip service to it right now, and I can go home and you can go home and we don't have to spend time here, right? But the Chayvus Halvavus wants it to be real, so he does it step by step. And as I said, if you take notes, you'll say, let's practice this for a week, and then let's practice the next step for 2 weeks, and this way it'll be real. Okay. In the Hakdama, in the introduction to the Chayvus Halvavos, Shar HaBitachon, his introduction is an advertisement for Bitachon, and he goes over the tremendous benefits Bitachon has. And all he's trying to do is to lure you into realizing how important it is and how fantastic it is. And like the guy used to go around with the snake oil and say, this will grow hair back on your head and all the girls will like you and it'll make you rich and powerful and strong and handsome. And he used to sell it. They called them snake oil salesmen. So the Chayvus Halvavus is trying to convince you that the greatest thing in the world is bitachon, and that's what he spends his hakdama doing. And he makes a list of the benefits of bitachon. He doesn't talk about yet how to do it. He's not up to that yet. He makes a list. He says, this is first. First, I'm going to make you a list of the benefits. And I'll go over that list now quickly. The first one, well, maybe not so quickly. We'll see. The first one is tremendous, tremendous yisod, tremendous principle, tremendous chiddush. He says it so matter-of-factly, but it's a tremendous chiddush, and it's not a simple thing. We really could pause and talk about it philosophically, the implications of his chiddush, because it's not a simple matter. We could spend hours philosophizing about his chiddush, which we won't do. What is his chiddush? If you have bitachon on Hashem, Hashem is with you. There's more hashgacha pratis in your life. And if you direct your bitachon on other things, you're not poteach b'Hashem, Hashem says, okay, well, have it your way. See, and that's not such a good thing most of the time. The truth is, we don't realize how important it is to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives. Like, if you would say to someone, let's say your child comes over to you, like, just think of a simple marshal. Your child comes over to you and says, can I have a cookie? Right? Can I have a cookie? It's, we'll eat supper in 15 minutes, but I want a cookie first. Please, can I have a cookie? So you say, I love you and I want what's best for you, but you know, you're a little young and I thought about it and it's really not good for you to have this cookie now. It's ruining your appetite and I made a nutritious meal for you. It's not good. That's even if you say no. But now think of the child, if the mother says, you know, don't bother me, do what you want. Do what you want, do what you want, but don't bother me. I don't want to be involved in your life. A six-year-old, you know, go do what you want. Take a cookie, don't take a cookie. Doesn't bother me. You know, so that's what the Chassidus Halevavos is saying here. Right? Even a chole, a sick person. So he could daven to Hashem, and he could say, you know, you could be talking to Hashem, you daven to Hashem. And right, if he feels Hashem's there, it's tremendously supportive. And he could even take a no answer. But let's say Chola is imagining that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, leave me alone. You have a good doctor? We'll leave it up to the doctor. You know, you don't feel so good anymore about that. That's what the Chassidus Halevavos is saying. That if you... So that's the first benefit of Bitachon, that Hashem is with you. It's a magnetic field. If you indeed have this reliance on Hashem, then Hashem looks and considers and thinks. Obviously, the philosophical question that is in everybody's mind now is, isn't Hashem always doing that? So I said, we can't really go into it. There are definitely levels of Hashgacha Pratis. There are levels of Hester Ponim and Gilui Ponim. And it's a very complicated system. Hashem is a complex being. But that's why it's such a chiddush to Chayim Zalogos. So that's the first benefit. The first benefit is that Hashem is in your life. Like the mother with the child with the cookie. Hashem is there. Hashem doesn't say, do what you want. Have it. Hashem is there. He responds to what the Chayim Zalogos doesn't say, and what I said last week, the Chayim Zalogos does not mention this, is that as a schar for having bitachon, indeed, it very often, what you would like to happen, indeed materializes. But that's the Pesukim in Tillim, Yichastcho Hashem Aleinu Kasheir Chal Mulach, Mogein Hu L'chol HaChosem Bo, we say in Shmona Esrei, V'lol Nevosh Kivacho Batochnu, right? We, you know, there's an inyan that Hashem doesn't want us to be embarrassed if we have bitachon. So that's another sort of benefit. Chayim Zalvavos does not happen to mention that. That's benefit number one. Benefit number two, the Chayyus Halevavos says, is that you're free. You're independent. You're not afraid of people. You're not machnif people. People are doing something wrong. You won't go along with the crowd. You're afraid of losing your job. You're afraid of losing your social standing. You're afraid of losing your friends. You're afraid of losing a shidduch. All types of things. We acquiesce to things that we know is wrong. And we're quiet because we're afraid. We're afraid what's going to happen if you speak up. So the Chavis HaLova says, benefit number two of having bitachon is that you're free. You're free to be your own person. You're free to speak up against evil. You won't acquiesce to evil. You'll give people tochacha. Of course, we're talking tochacha in the right way. We're not talking about becoming a loose shotgun, a loose cannon. But the whole idea, if we think about our lives, you know, it's a problem. When people don't have bitachon, they feel dependent. They worry about what other people are going to say. When they're picking schools, when they're picking friends, when they're picking jobs, when people are doing avlas, and they, so that's number two. Number two is you gain independence. That's the second benefit. The third benefit, the Chavis HaLvava says, is that you can focus on Olam Haba. You can focus on Avodas Hashem. Let's say you're davening, right? But if you're focused on the phone call that you might miss, or your mind is on the errands that you have to run, and you're afraid of missing the phone call, so the mind wanders. And bitachon frees you. It frees you from having your mind almost and worried and always hooked into what could happen, what might happen, what do I have to take care of today, or else there's going to be a disaster. It clears your mind and you're able to focus. The Chavis HaLvava then goes off on a tangent, which I won't elaborate. I'll just mention it. He gives a very funny mashal. I'll use modern day terminology, even though he uses more quaint terminology. Let's say he says your mind is as free as if you had a money making machine in your basement. Let's say you had in his days it was called an alchemist. They talked about that people can turn things into gold. So he says, let's say someone had this idea and knew how to do it. Let's say you knew Midas. Everybody knows the story of Midas. Let's say you knew that every time you put your hand in your pocket and took out your purse or your wallet, it would be full of $100 bills. You could have all the money you want. You have a money-making machine. So think, wow, like, I don't worry anything. I could focus on my davening. I could focus on what I'm supposed to be doing. I have no care in the world. Chavis HaLvava then, say it's a little tangent, he goes off and, you know, like Wonder Bread, he gives you 10 ways in which bitachon in Hashem is stronger and more powerful than if you had a money-making machine down in your basement. He says, why that's not so great. You're worried the neighbors will find out. You're worried the machine will break down. You're worried the government will find out and consider it counterfeiting. It's only money. It doesn't help you with your health. It doesn't help you with your emotional issues. And bitachon is better than that money-making machine in the basement. So again, that's almost a side point in benefit number three. Benefit number three is that it clears your mind and you're able to be merakez yourself to avodas Hashem. Number four. Benefit number four, he says. This is all in the introduction where he's trying to lure you into wanting to learn Chavis HaLvava Shaar HaBitachon. Benefit number four is that you're not obsessed with money and you're able to withstand its nisyonos. A person learns Chavis HaLvava Shaar HaBitachon and Shaar Avodas HaLokim and probably one or two others. You see, the Chavis HaLvava is obsessed with money. But then you think about your life and you realize that he's a very down-to-earth practical purpose, the Chavis HaLvava, because we are obsessed with money. And most of our lives of Olam Hazeh, okay, there's other issues also, certainly. There's relationship issues. But by and large, I think it's indeed safe to say that that's the big burden that we all bear, that we all have. B'zeh sapecha tocha lechem. That we need money, and we're always making sure that we have enough money for whatever it is we want, and we're worried about money, and we and what we do and how we act, and it's like almost everything, just like we're supposed to live, that everything is what's the Ratzon Hashem. I'm not accusing anybody of not living that way. I'm just like, that's how focused you're supposed to be. The way an average person is focused on money, if you think about it, people's lives, that's really what's the engine that keeps everything going. So money has tremendous nisyonos attached to it. So we're obsessed with money, we're focused on money, and if you have money, it's tremendous nisayon. If you know any rich people, there are unfortunately rich people that automatically assume they're better than anyone else, and they can do things that other people can't do, and they can get away with things that people can't get away with, and they expect people to look up to them. And as Tevye said, the Tevye and this different nuschos between the book and the movie or the play, right? When you're rich, they think you really know. And that's true. And that's a big nisayon. And it's famous in Jewish history, the Marshal, I think Moses Montefiore, like this famous rich people who were the most unassuming, humble people despite their money. And it was nikar, and their muzkar l'shevach, because it's so unusual. It's so unusual. If you think about people, unfortunately, that's so the chavis. And if you don't have money, it's certainly a big nisayon. A person could become bitter. A person lives with stress and anxiety. So the chavis Halbavitch says, benefit number four is that you're not obsessed with money, and you're able to withstand the nisyonos that come in the wake of money. If you have money, you'll be generous with your money. You'll use it for good things. You'll use it for tzedakah. You'll think of it indeed as a pikadon from Hashem, and you're just in charge of dispersing it. You won't be condescending with people. You won't be overbearing. And if you don't have money, you'll be someach b'chelko. You'll be happy. The Chavis Lvova says a very humorous thing. He says, you'll be happy you don't have the burden of money. He says, you know, you have money, it's a tremendous burden. A poor person comes to the door, how much should you give him? Guy comes to the door, he needs an operation for his wife. I don't know, maybe you should give him $10,000 if you're rich. You give him $5, like, what does Hashem want you to do? You're not quite sure. But if you don't have money, so you give him a dollar, or you give him 5 shekel, and that's all you could give him. You don't have that burden. A rich person has a tremendous burden, the Chavis Lvova says. So you thank Hashem when you have bitachon, and you don't have money, you thank Hashem. Thank you, Hashem. I'm freed from this burden of what to do with my money. So, and if you lose money, you don't go crazy. You don't get depressed. You don't lose yourself. So that's benefit number four, is money. You're not obsessed with money. You can deal with it. Whether you have it, you can deal with it. This is what Chavis Lvova is Mayrich. I'm just going to give a very quick synopsis. If you have it, you can deal with it. If you don't have it, you can deal with it. If you lose it, you can deal with it. You can deal with the parsha of a person's life called money. That's benefit number four. So benefit number one is that you live with Hashem. Hashem indeed is in your life much more. It's a reaction to having bitachon. Benefit number two is you're free, you're independent, and you don't go along with evil. You could give tochacha. You're an independent person. You could speak your mind. Benefit number three is you're not caught up in olam hazeh. It's as good as having a money-making machine in your basement. Say, okay, I'm taken care of. Now I could concentrate on my davening, on my children. That's number three. Number four is you can deal with money. You're not so obsessed with it, and you can deal with the nisyonos either of having it or of not having it or of losing it. Benefit number five, he says. You live a stress-free life. The Chavis Lvova lived too long ago to say that most illnesses are stress-related. Right? He lived 1,000 years too early to be able to say that. But he does a pretty good job of it. He says you have peace of mind, you have serenity, you live a stress-free life, your refrigerator breaks down the morning of Erev Yom Tov. No problem. You're smiling. You're not yelling at your husband and your family. You're stress-free. Someone's sick. You need a shidduch. All the things of life. You applied for a job. And you can enjoy life. Chavis HaLoda says, you can enjoy life. Think of a person by their child's chasana. How am I going to pay for it? And how am I going to pay the mortgage? And you can't enjoy the simcha. But the truth is, every day, life is a simcha. And there's so many pleasures in everyday life. And you can't enjoy it if you're full of stress and anxiety and worry and tension. So this is a huge benefit. Chavis splits up the Hakdama into benefits in spirituality and benefits in Olam Hazeh. I'm starting now the benefits in Olam Hazeh. The first four things he talked about were benefits for Ruchnius. Now he's talking about benefits for Gashmius. You'll live a stress-free life. You'll be able to enjoy life. Geschmack. The next benefit in Olam Hazeh is that you won't take a job. Again, he's always talking about jobs and money. He's one of us. You won't take a job that this is going to sound... I'll say what the Chavis HaLoda says. So please don't... he says, you won't take a job that makes you travel always. Maybe, nowadays, maybe that's not such a big deal. But that's what he says. You won't take a job that's dangerous. You won't take a job that's illegal. And you're really afraid the guy is asking you to do funny things that you'd rather not do. You won't take a job that's dangerous, that requires too much sacrifice. That's all. It's plain and simple. You'll be able to take a job where you'll have job satisfaction, which you enjoy doing. You have to choose what to do in life or what job to take. You're free. You'll take the one that you enjoy doing. Chaim Salovis is very big on job satisfaction. In fact, later on in Shar HaBitachon, he will say that's one of the ways a person can divine and figure out what job he should do is what gives him or her satisfaction. And he talks about job satisfaction, and that's how you should decide what to do. Again, generally. So that's his, and he tells a story in the Hakdama about this big tzaddik that went to a faraway place to look for Parnasa, and he meets up with Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and he starts giving them Musar about their doing Avodah Zarah, and they say, who do you worship? So they say, I worship Hashem Elokei Hashemayim Elokei Haaretz Adon Olam Asher Malach Hakol Yachol. So the guy says, where do you live? He says, I live 1,000 miles away. What are you doing here? I came to look for a job. And you're giving me Musar? So Chagallah says, the guy went back home, and that's the end of the story. So that's benefit number six, the second Olam Hazeh benefit. You won't take a job that's too taxing or that's too dangerous or that requires too much sacrifice. Benefit number seven, he makes a category in itself. It's related to stress. He says you can cope with frustration because the refrigerator always breaks the day after the warranty runs out. And, right, everything's always... You sell your house, and the next day prices shoot up and double, and you sell your stock, and then this is life. Life is full of frustrations, and frustrations wear you down, and they give you ulcers, and they make you unhealthy, and you're able to cope with frustration. That's benefit number seven. And benefit number eight, finally, his last benefit in his list, this is the benefit number four of Olam Hazeh, is that you're besimcha. Because when you develop bitachon, he didn't start yet. We didn't learn yet how to develop it. When you develop bitachon, I promise you, he says, you'll be besimcha. You will realize that Hashem wants only what's best for you. and b'meila you'll be happy. And he gives a wonderful mashal that everyone here can relate to. You're diapering your baby, and the baby's kicking and screaming and crying, and it's cold or it hurts or whatever. And you're cleaning the baby. You know what you're doing for the baby. That's exactly the words of the Chayyus HaLavas. He brings on the pasuk, Nafshi kagomol olai, Nafshi kagomol olai. We're like infants in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we could be kicking and screaming and crying, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is diapering us. And he knows what he's doing. So we should keep that image in mind, and we'll always be besimcha, because we know Hashem's taking care of us. And we'll live life besimcha. When you develop bitachon, that's your mindset, that's where you're at, and that's where you're holding. Okay, that's basically the hakdama of the Chayyus HaLavas. So again, quickly, number one, it's good. One of the things you should do is chazer. You should chazer when you, whatever you're doing, you're walking, when you're power walking, you know, like this, you're walking down the street for your exercise, or you're cleaning, or you're doing in the kitchen. You could chazer over these eight things. What are the benefits of bitachon? Well, what are you gonna? Number one is that you're always with Hashem. I'm reading from a list, don't think I know by heart. Hashem responds in kind. It works. You have bitachon, Hashem says, I'm there with you. You don't have bitachon, do what you want, leave me alone. Number two is you're free, you're independent. You could be your own person. Number three is you're not caught up in Olam Hazeh. You could be merakez your mind to Avodas Hashem. Number four is you can deal with money. You can deal with it, with having it, with not having it. This, the money part of your life is easily dealt with. Those are the four of Ruchnius. The four of Gashmius is that you live a stress-free life, a serene life, a relaxed life. You have peace of mind. Number two is you don't choose a job that's overly taxing, that demands too much sacrifice of you. Number three is you can cope with frustration, and life is full of frustrations. And number four is you're besimcha, because you know Hashem's doing what's best for you, and Hashem cares about you, and this is what you work on to develop bitachon, as we'll see. Okay, that's the end of the Hakdama. And now we're ready to start. But before we start, I want to give my own Hakdama. Again, the Shaar itself is a handbook on developing bitachon, step by step by step. It's a workbook, mamish. Okay, before we start, I want to give a Hakdama. First of all, bitachon is a mitzvah. Chavis HaVolvis doesn't talk about it as a mitzvah. That's why I'm not such a good rabbi. He's smarter than I am. He gives a whole hakdama how great it is. And I'm a rabbi. I say, yeah, it's a mitzvah. You got to do it. He says, we don't want to hear it's a mitzvah. We want to read the Chavis HaVolvis about why it's so great. But you should be aware that there's a mitzvah's bitachon. And even if all else fails, you've succeeded in fulfilling this obligation of having bitachon. That's one point. Another point is the famous Ramban that says that emuna is the tree and bitachon is the fruit. And really, we are cheating, because the Chayyus HaLavavos puts Shaar HaBitachon. The Chayyus HaLavavos is an extremely structured, logical sefer. Amazingly so. Very, very structured. So the Chayyus HaLavavos first has Shaar HaYichud, where he trains you and he teaches you how to believe in Hashem. But as I said regarding bitachon, but really believe in Hashem, not just lip service, but really truly. Okay, then comes Shaar HaBechina, where he teaches you to appreciate Hashem's wonders and how Hashem runs the world and how he nature. Right? The Shaar HaBechina is to study nature, to study biology, to study anything in the world that shows you the tremendous chokhmah with which Hashem created the world, and how everything is chesed, and everything is full of such complexity, but it all fits together. And Hashem made color, and Hashem made smells, and Hashem made flowers and sunsets. Like it's amazing. So build up to that. Then he has Shara Avodas Elokim, where he says, where's your Hakaras HaTov? Hashem created you. Hashem made everything work. Hashem gave you so much. Hashem gave you life. Hashem, feel it. And then comes Shara Bitachon. See, once you develop Emuna, and you are really there that Hashem controls all, and Hashem created all, and Hashem wants what's best for us, and Hashem is full of chesed and tov, and you've worked on that for months or years or however long it takes you to get through Shar HaYichud and then Shar HaBechina and then Shar HaVodas Elokim, then he says an interesting thing, Chazalos. He says, okay, we're finished, now we're ready to serve Hashem. We finish Shar HaVodas Elokim. What is the most important Avodas Elokim in a person's life? The most important. And he says, Bitachon. That's it. That's the most important Avodah. That's why he puts that first, or fourth. I mean, after Shara Avodas Elokim, but it's very structured. So really, again, the Ramban says, Emunah, belief that Hashem exists, the nature of Hashem, that he creates all, that he controls all, that he's in control of all, that he does everything, that he's kind, that he's full of chesed, that he's full of rachamim. This is all in Shar HaYichud, Emunah, Shar HaBechina, Shar HaVodas Elokim, where you work on your sense of Hakaras HaTov. So we're cheating in this year. We're jumping to Bitachon. But really be aware that Bitachon has a foundation that it's built on, and that's Emunah. That's the Ramban. Emunah is the tree, Bitachon is the fruit. If you don't have the Emunah, if you don't have the tree, it's really going to be very hard to properly develop the fruit, because you're going to be missing that. Okay, so that's another point to keep in mind. The third point I'll make, please, with your indulgence, before actually starting to say over, boy, there's a synopsis. You can imagine what it was to sit through learning this. The third point is, I want to, you know, you say, Rav Milinowitz, I don't want to wait 3 months to, what do I do tomorrow? So I want to give you a little suggestion. It's cheating a little, but, you know, we just to give you a little taste of what we're going to be able to do naturally and easily and fully and deeply after we mitzvah Hashem finish our bitachon. But right now there's two simple things we can do, two simple things to start practicing, because whatever we learn, it's going to come back, it's going to be these two things really, except as we learn they'll become more meaningful and more true and more real and more of an expression of what we really feel and what we really hold of. What are the two things? Number one is to talk to Hashem. Talk to Hashem. Before you do something, whether it's baking a cake, going to the makolet, taking your kids to school, anything you do, get into the practice. Don't start doing it with everything tomorrow. Do it twice tomorrow. Before you do something, talk to Hashem and say, Hashem, I'm relying on you that this should work. I'm relying on, please let this happen. I'm relying on you that it should happen. Okay? That's before you do something, think that it's Hashem, that it's up to Hashem if it's going to happen or not. I know you're in the living room and you're going to the kitchen and you're opening the refrigerator and you're getting a container of milk. Now, you know the milk's there because it was there last night. So it's still there. No. Hashem, I'm relying on you because we all know, you want to know, what am I talking about, a nace? Ah, your husband woke up at 3 a.m. to get a cup of coffee and he was like sleeping, you know, and he knocked over the milk and it's not there. So you say, Hashem, I'm relying on you that milk is there. I'm relying on you that I have milk for breakfast for my kids. I'm not relying on the fact that milk was in the refrigerator last night, so therefore it's there today. That takes Hashem out of the picture. Hashem, I'm relying on you that my kids should have milk for breakfast. You know, open the refrigerator door, and there's the milk. And you say, thank you, Hashem. That's the second thing. The two things we could put into practice immediately, before we even start learning, is to, before we do something, to talk to Hashem, to tell Hashem we're relying on Him that it should work. I'm going to get on a bus tonight. Hashem, I'm relying on you that I'm going to get to Yerushalayim safely. I'm relying on you. You get to Yerushalayim, you say, thank you, Hashem. I appreciate it. That's, you start doing that, and you start, it works. It starts refocusing your life, starts refocusing your mind, and that helps. That's what's difficult, because we rely on all sorts of things, all sorts of marishkeiten. We rely on things that are not worthy of relying on, and we shut Hashem out of the picture. So that's one thing we could start practicing doing, even in mundane things, even in silly. It will feel a little silly. I didn't say you should say it that someone can hear you. Say it quietly. Make sure no one can hear you. And talk to Hashem beforehand and thank Hashem afterwards. Okay. Are there any questions? Maybe we should take some questions and then we'll just start Perek Rishon next week.
What's the second point to help
us? To thank Hashem afterwards.
Oh.
To think of Hashem beforehand and ask Him, tell Him you're relying on Him, or ask Him that please let this happen, let this work. And after it works, you say, thank you, Hashem. It was indeed because of you, and I thank you.
I didn't realize this.
Yeah.
What should be your response when you say, I'm relying on you, Hashem, that this should work and it doesn't work?
I can answer you now, but I think it'll be better if the Chofetz Chaim will discuss that at length. It's true that bitachon requires a double layer of thought. That's why I keep using the word reliance. You're relying on Hashem that something should happen. At the same time, you know that if it doesn't happen, it's meant for the best, and Hashem only wants good. You know that Hashem could do anything, and you know He's kol yachol, and you know He wants only what's best for us. That's what the Chofetz Chaim wants us to work on. And then, therefore, when it doesn't happen, we can deal with it. We're able to say, I guess, Hashem didn't want. Like the mother said no about the cookie to the child. We said before, the child asked for a cookie before supper. The mother says, I love you, and it's not good for you to have a cookie before supper. So that's part of bitachon, because bitachon, since the definition of bitachon, and we'll talk more about this next week, is not that I trust that Hashem will do what I want or that Hashem will do it. Bitachon just means whatever you're relying on, rely on Hashem. That should be the focus of your reliance. You're somech on Him. You're relying on Him. That doesn't presuppose His response. It doesn't presuppose what He's going to do. But it focuses your mindset. I'm not relying on the bus driver. I'm not relying on my own intelligence. I'm not relying on my protector. I'm not relying on my kablan. I'm not relying on I'm relying on Hashem. That's what the mitzvah of bitachon is. That's the avoda of bitachon, is to realize, it's not a magic formula. It's true. Hashem wants us to deal with that reality. Everything is ultimately dependent on Hashem. The bus driver, the protector, the rich uncle, the loan in the bank, the paycheck coming from the boss, the job interview. If I would ask you, of course, ultimately it's up to Hashem. Bitachon wants you to focus on that, wants you to bring it to the fore of your mind, to the fore of your consciousness, and say, Hashem, it's only up to you, really. Everything else is really nonsense. They're all your shluchim. So I'm really relying on you, and really we are. Bitachon, the avoda of bitachon is to realize it. Yeah.
What
What if you don't feel a connection when you're praying, when you're asking?
This is what Chayvus Halvavus is written for. Chayvus Halvavus is going to give us a workbook in how to make that connection. Mm-hmm. He's going to train us. It's a workbook. He's going to say, think about this and think about that. So we're going to learn it maybe in one night or in two nights or in three nights. But really, every step of the way, you can work on for a month. Okay, this is something to work on for 1 month. Okay, that's what I... Okay. All right, so we'll stop here. We'll start the first parak. Technically, we're up to the first parak in the Shaar Bitachon. Okay, and we're continuing as a synopsis. I think we'll always give synopsises from now on. No more text. What? You want text? I'm a man. I like text and words.
I thought it was excellent.